My name is Stephen Sale, and I'm a research director at Analysys Mason with responsibility for our consumer research practice. As you will probably be aware, Mobile World Congress 2020 was cancelled after health concerns, and many associated activities are being conducted online, and our post-MWC review webinar was one of them. This podcast is a summary of what I presented during the webinar on the topic of consumer services and devices, with the main focus being on 5G. MWC is an important event for device launches, and most have continued regardless. Samsung went ahead with its pre-MWC Unpacked event at the beginning of February and launched the S20 range of 5G devices, as well as a foldable smartphone, the Flip. The big name manufacturers launched flagship devices with 5G, including support for a range of technical features, millimeter wave, sub 6 GHz FDDD and TDD, dynamic spectrum sharing, and standalone 5G. These devices typically retail for around $1,000, so not cheap. Examples include the new Samsung range, Sony's Xperia 1 Mark II, and Oppo's Find X2. This represents the second wave of 5G devices coming to market with a more complete feature set. The main thing that I want to discuss, however, is the arrival of 5G devices at more modest price points. And critical to this is the development of integrated chipsets that include 5G modems, which generally offer better space, cost, and energy efficiency. Modular systems that combine modems with antennas can also drive down costs for manufacturers. Basically, it's getting easier to build in 5G to devices, and the price premiums are falling. Integrated chipsets for mid-tier or mass-market devices that have recently been launched include Qualcomm's Snapdragon 765, MediaTek's Dimensity 800, and the HiSilicon Kirin 990. Several mid-range handsets are coming to market with these chipsets and are expected to retail at around $500. Huawei's Honor brand now has 5G with the View 30 Pro model, and well-spec mid-range phones from Xiaomi and HMD's Nokia are coming soon. These latter two were scheduled to launch at MWC but have been postponed by a couple of weeks. There will be many more mid-range devices coming this year. Xiaomi has said that it will offer at least 10 5G phones this year, and 5G will probably come to Samsung's Galaxy A and M ranges too this year. This means that from the supply side, there will be a broad range of devices on offer, and the rate at which 5G devices appear across ranges is a major determinant of the speed of adoption. We are forecasting that there will be 1.9 billion 5G mobile connections in 2024, representing 22% of mobile devices. This is a much faster adoption rate than we saw with 4G, and I think this is representative of the ecosystem coming together much more quickly with 5G. The next area I want to touch upon takes more of a service provider perspective. A big part of the consumer proposition for 5G currently is better performance from mobile networks. Operators are aiming to squeeze some extra value out of customers for a better experience. More speed, less waiting time, more data usage. Now, the mobile experience is currently reliant on the smartphone, but the industry is also looking to new devices that could enable new use cases. The long-awaited wearables and smart glasses, connected cars and so on. This is something that we missed out on last week. The smaller players showcasing their wares. Lightweight mixed reality glasses from the likes of Nreal and VLA VR, that kind of thing. Prices are falling for these devices and the user experience can be pretty impressive. As for 5G support, most of these devices are currently tethered to a smartphone. The industry needs eSIM to open up new opportunities for connected devices that support mobility use cases. We think there will be a lot of activity in eSIM this year as operators start viewing the technology as an opportunity rather than as a threat. 5G also needs a strong content and services ecosystem. This applies when it is operators doing it themselves, such as China Mobile and its Migu platform, or the Korean operators bringing a rich set of AR and VR enabled content to market with 5G. And we're starting to see partnerships between operators to share expertise and leverage resources. It also applies to operators that take a back seat on content and pursue more of a connectivity proposition. All operators need services to push the performance requirements of networks and stimulate demand for more connectivity from end users, whether that be high volumes, more speed, or lower latency. Mobile video is still the main driver of usage growth on mobile, and with 5G, the mobile video experience is getting richer, with multiple viewing options and overlaid analytics. Simultaneous viewing of multiple streams is common for esports, one of the fastest growing content types. Gaming is one of the fastest growing markets in entertainment. More than 3.2 billion people regularly played a digital game in 2019, spending a total of $130 billion, and these figures will grow to 4.5 billion users and $220 billion by 2024. Cloud gaming is still in its early stages, but it will help support this growth. We're about to publish a report on what cloud gaming means for operators, go-to-market strategies on both fixed and mobile, and some work around how operators can help lower the barriers for the service. As far as MWC goes, there was little in the way of gaming announcements last week, and the Gaming Developers Conference scheduled for mid-March in San Francisco has also been cancelled. There is plenty of activity going on around these ecosystems, and these lacked a platform last week. SK Telecom can normally be relied upon to showcase a vision of the future. The only press releases that SK issued last week were about Glomo Awards, one in absentia, and a partnership with Deutsche Telekom on a 5G repeater for indoor coverage. This latter example highlights something that came up in the few operator briefings that took place last week. There's a lot of focus on ensuring that 5G performance does live up to the hype, that it does offer better network performance, that operators do not oversell the benefits, and that customers can still make phone calls. Well, thank you for listening. And if you're interested in watching the full webinar covering IoT, 5G consumer use cases, edge computing, 5G infrastructure, and network automation, I'm pleased to say it's now available on demand. And you can find this under the webinar section of our website.